మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ
ఇత్యజ్ఞేనానునీతేన
భవేన పరితుష్యత అభ్యదాయ
మహాబాహో
సూయతాం ఇతి. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ భవేన పరితుష్యత అభ్యదాయ మహాబాహో శూయతాం ఇతి.
మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ అజేన
అజేన
బై లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ అనునీతేన
అనునీతేన
క్లాసిఫైడ్ భవేన
భవేన
బై లార్డ్ శివ
బై లార్డ్ శివ
పరితుష్యత
పరితుష్యత
ఫుల్లీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్
ఫుల్లీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్
అభ్యదాయి
అభ్యదాయి
సెట్
సెట్
మహాబాహో
మహాబాహో
విదుర
విదుర
ప్రహస్య
ప్రహస్య
స్మైలింగ్
బై
శ్రూయతాం
శ్రూయతాం
లిసన్
లిసన్
ఇతి
దాస్ దాస్.
Translation of the sage Maitreya said, O mighty Arna Vidura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Lord Brahma, spoke as follows in answer to Lord Brahma's request. Lord Shiva said, My dear father, Brahma, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods. Because these demigods are childish and less intelligent, I do not take a serious view of their offenses, and I will punish them only in order to right them. Therefore, there are two types of punishment. One is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy, and another is like that a father imposes on a son. There is a gulf of difference between these two kinds of punishment. Lord Shiva is by nature a Vaishnava, a great devotee, and his name in this connection is also Tosh. He is always satisfied, and therefore he does not become angry as if he were an enemy. He is not inimical to any living entity, rather he always wishes the welfare of all. Whenever he chastises a person, it is just like a father's punishment of his son. Lord Shiva is like a father because he never takes serious any offense by any living entities, especially the demigods. Lord Shiva continues, since the head of Daksha had already been burned to ashes, he will have the head of a goat. A demigod known as Vaga will be able to see his share of sacrifice through the eyes of Mitra. The demigod Kusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples. And if below, he will have to satisfy himself by eating dough made from chickpea flour. But the demigods who have agreed to give me my share of sacrifice will recover from their injuries. Therefore, the demigod Kusha became dependent on his disciples for chewing. Otherwise, he was allowed to swallow only dough made of chickpea flour. Thus, his punishment continued. He could not use his teeth for eating, since he had laughed at Lord Shiva, deriding him by showing his teeth. In other words, it was not appropriate for him to have teeth, for he used them against Shiva. Those who have had their arms cut off will have to work with the arms of Ashwini Kumar, and those whose hands were cut off will have to work with the hands of Kusha. A priest will also have to act in that manner. As for Bhrigu, he will have the beard from the goat's head. Prabhupada Bhrigu Muni, a great disciple, supporter of Daksha, was awarded the beard of a goat's head, which is substituted for the head of Daksha. It appears from the exchange of Daksha's head that the modern scientific theory that the brain substance is the cause of all intelligence and work is not valid. The brain substance of Daksha and that of the goat are different, but Daksha was still acting like himself, though his head was replaced by that of a goat. The conclusion is that it is the particular consciousness of an individual soul which acts. The brain substance is only an instrument, which has nothing to do with real intelligence. The real intelligence, mind, and consciousness are part of the individual, particular individual soul. It will be found in the verses ahead that after Daksha's head was replaced by the goat's head, he was as intelligent as he had been previously. He prayed very nicely to satisfy Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, which is not possible for a goat to do. Therefore, it is definitely concluded that the brain substance is not the center of intelligence, it is the consciousness of a particular soul that works intelligently movement of Krishna consciousness is to purify the consciousness. It doesn't matter what kind of brain one has, because if he simply transfers his consciousness from matter to Krishna, his life becomes successful. It is confirmed by the Lord Himself and Bhagavad Gita that anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness achieves the highest perfection of life, regardless of whatever abominable condition of life he may have fallen into. Specifically, anyone in Krishna consciousness goes back to God and back home on leaving his present material body. The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is best among the benedictors." In this verse, Lord Shiva is described as Midustama, the best of the benedictors. He is also known as Asutosh, which indicates that he is very quickly satisfied and very quickly angered. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, the less intelligent persons go to the demigods for material benedictions. Connection. People generally go to Lord Shiva, and because he always quickly satisfied and gives benedictions to his devotees without consideration, he's called Nidushtama, or the best of the benedictors. Materialistic persons are always anxious to get material profit, but they are not serious about spiritual profit. Sometimes, of course, it so happens that Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictor in spiritual life. It is said that once a poor Brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva for benediction, and Lord Shiva advised the devotee to go to see Sanatan Goswami. The devotee went to Sanatan Goswami and informed him that Lord Shiva had advised him to seek out the best benediction from Sanatana. Sanatana had a touchstone with him, which he kept with the garbage. On the request of the poor Brahmana, Sanatan Goswami gave him the touchstone, and the Brahmana was very happy to have it. He now could get as much gold as he desired simply by touching the touchstone to iron. But after he left Sanatana, he thought, if a touchstone is the best benediction, why has Sanatana Goswami kept it with the garbage? He therefore returned and asked Sanatana Goswami, "Sir, if this is the best benediction, why did you keep it with the garbage?" Sanatana Goswami then informed him, "Actually, this is not the best benediction. Are you prepared to take the best benediction from me?" The Brahmana said, "Oh yes, sir. Lord Shiva has sent me to you for the best benediction." Then Sanatana Goswami asked him to throw the touchstone in the water nearby and then come back. The poor Brahmana did so, and when he returned, Sanatana Goswami initiated him with the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, the Brahmana got the association of the best devotee of Lord Krishna, and thus was initiated in the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Translation is, sage Maitreya said, "O mighty arm Vidura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Brahma, spoke as follows and answered the Lord Brahma's request." So, Shiva accepted the statements of Brahma, and of course Brahma was also his father, so he was respectful to him. And Shiva's nature, as is explained here, is very forgiving. He is pleased very easily. So though he may become angry, he again is pleased very easily. So he did not take the offenses of the Devatas and Daksha too seriously, and he agreed to rectify the situation. But then he gave some sort of condition, so everyone was not restored in the same way. So Daksha didn't get his head back, he got a goat's head, and Pusha had to eat through his disciples, etc. So they were able to function, but not exactly as before. So there was some bad effect for their offense, we could say, in spite of the fact that they could function. So because of their activities, offenses, they had to suffer to some degree. Nevertheless, the main function that Brahma came for, that is continuation of the sacrifice, that was allowed to one. So that is mainly what is discussed here, how Lord Shiva made the arrangements for these different people to function so that sacrifice could be continued. So, as I mentioned the other day, the sacrifice should be continued. But of course, it's not the highest thing because the sacrifices of Daksha were part of karma, and karma is the lowest practice. And then, of course, we have Dhyana, Yoga, and Bhakti. So actually, it's not the highest practice. Nevertheless, it is part of the Vedas. So therefore, it should not be interrupted. Therefore, Brahma requested Shiva to make sure the sacrifice went on. So the Vedas recommend karma for some people, and Jnana and Yoga and Bhakti, according to qualification. So here we see that Brahma wants to continue karma, in spite of the fact that generally we don't have anything to do with karma. So what is the use of karma? Why we should restore it? What is the use of that daksha to sacrifice? The devotees really don't care for such things. So in one sense, it's not very significant that this goes on. Whether daksha is doing sacrifices or not, the devotees don't care. It's not their interest. But here we see that Brahma was very concerned about continuation of sacrifices. And the reason is, this is part of the process. All of these processes are there. There is bhakti, and there is karma, and jnana, and yoga. So they're all parts of the Vedic life, and they should be encouraged for different types of people. That is the process that is mentioned in the Vedic literatures. Therefore, they mention all these processes. They should all be continued and not destroyed or interrupted in any way. Particularly, karma is encouraged for population at large. And therefore, the kings institute dharma. That basically means everyone is doing karma yoga. So all the great kings do this, including devotees like Ambarish and others. Even though they're great devotees, still they institute these things. It is their duty to do so. The king is supposed to institute dharma, not bhakti. So the people have to eat, they have to live. So he gives a system by which people get their maintenance. That is what a king does. Now, of course, the king can also give spiritual guidance, so we have great devotee kings as well. But as a king, their duty is to make sure the population gets maintained properly. And we see that this was Brahma's purpose also. He had to create the population of the world, and then he was responsible for maintaining the whole population. So he did this with the Prajapatis and the Manus and the kings. So the system went on. So this is under the direction of the Supreme Lord, ultimately. So dharma and karma and all these things are part of the whole system. At the same time, in Kali Yuga, we cannot emphasize these aspects so much. Because of the fallen nature of people, inability to do anything. Even karma yoga is not practical for people. And that is why Narada Muni told Vyas to reject all the Puranas in which he encouraged them to do all sorts of things according to karma, and just recommend bhakti. So in Kali Yuga, though the scriptures are still there, we don't give much regard for the other processes, and we give regard for bhakti. So in the other ages, they did karma and jnana and yoga, etc. And we can see that even the great kings were proficient in yoga and whatever. So people could easily follow these processes in other ages. But in Kali Yuga, it is difficult for people to do so, and even if they do so, they won't go beyond a particular stage. They may get stuck in karma, and they won't go to jnana. In jnana, they won't go to yoga. If they're in yoga, they won't go to bhakti. So ultimately, they don't reach the perfection because they get stuck on one particular stage. So therefore, Narada Muni told Vyasadeva to just reject everything and just do bhakti. So in Kali Yuga, the direction is that we give up these processes and instead we simply do devotional service. So these sacrifices that are mentioned here, not only in this place, but in other places also, these are for other ages and other qualified people. And in Kali Yuga, it is not practical to do these types of things. So by sacrifice, we mean this type of particular sacrifice, a ritual involving fire in offering oblations and using mantras. So this, of course, is the main process in Treta Yuga. It is not necessarily karma, however, because in Treta Yuga the whole purpose is worship of Vishnu, and by that one attains the Supreme Lord. This process is a little different because Daksha was not so much interested in attaining the Supreme Lord. He was interested in karmic results. So he was not actually following the Dharma of Treta Yuga. He was simply following karma yoga for material benefits. So it is possible for devotees to do sacrifices and concentrate on the Supreme Lord, just as they can do deity worship. So worshipping the Lord through fire is another form of worship. But the consciousness has to be correct, and the object of the sacrifice has to be the Supreme Lord. Then it becomes bhakti. So in karma, there is some recognition of the Supreme Lord, but that it is not the main point. And the main point is not pleasure of the Supreme Lord, but maintaining the material body and maintaining society. So that is why this process is not called bhakti, even though there's some recognition of the Lord there. So the people in general use this system in order that they survive in the material world. So most people are most interested in surviving. They don't think much about anything else. This, of course, is also the concern of animals. So most people have that mentality, how to get money so I can live. So this is just an advancement on animal life. That's all. How to survive and get some food, shelter. So it's no better than animal life. So this is the majority of people. That's their only concern. Government has to provide a method for these people. So therefore, karma is the method for the people. They can follow certain rules, and they get their maintenance, etc., with a minimum of suffering. At the same time, there are rules by which they are restricted from doing certain activities. So in this way, they gradually progress, birth after birth. And then they end up in Satvagun eventually. And in Satvagun, they have knowledge. So they're not so ignorant anymore. And then they begin to inquire about Atma, etc. So that is the whole aim of Karma Yoga. Therefore, it's accepted as part of the Vedas. It's not directly spiritual, but it is the first step towards Jnana, Yoga, and Bhakti. So therefore, and is accepted and recommended in the Vedas. Why? Because most of the people are on this level, that's why. Unfortunately, this process doesn't work in Kali Yuga. Difficult to follow, and the king, there's no king, proper king, so not difficult to institute this process. Therefore, the highest process alone is recommended. In spite of the fact one needs the highest qualification, that is faith in the Supreme Lord, still it is the recommended process because it does not rely on any other process. And those who are not qualified for karma again or yoga can become qualified for bhakti. So therefore, it is a practical process. That does not mean to say that bhakti is meant to support your body. No, it's a purely spiritual process. So if you're interested in the support for the body, then you have to do your other activities, which are not bhakti. So one may work and do whatever. Yeah? If one chooses, one can try to do it according to karma as much as possible, but it's, of course, even that is difficult in Kali Yuga. At the same time, one also performs bhakti. And bhakti is for simply cultivating the soul. Of course, side products are there in terms of devotional results. Because the Lord says, I protect my devotee and yogu kshema vahaminaham, whatever he lacks, I supply. Whatever is necessary for the devotee's bare maintenance in the material world, the Lord supplies that also to the devotee. But most people want more than the bare necessities, and therefore they have to work in this material world, not just do bhakti. So anyway, in Kali Yuga, this process works because it can be combined with other activities without a problem. So one can do it while working in the material world as a householder or whatever. One can still do the process of bhakti, and it still has results. The other spiritual processes are very difficult to do as long as one is attached to the house. The yoga and jnana, difficult to do for a householder. Bhakti, it is not difficult at all. Therefore, we'll see in Lord Chaitanya's movement that most of his followers were grihasthas. They were grihasthas in the different varnas, and they were practicing bhakti, and they were also working in the material world. So this is a practical process for the people of Kali Yuga. It is directly spiritual, doesn't depend on anything else, and everyone can do it, and you can do other things as well along with the process of bhakti. So it's recommended that one follows this process in Kali Yuga.
You have to follow the four principles. One has to link with Krishna, otherwise it's not possible to follow.
Well, ultimately, of course, the four regulative principles are part of dharma, not particularly of bhakti. Because one can follow the regulative principles and not be a devotee. Mayavadis are also following the regulative principles. Many Brahmins follow, Smartas follow, Shivites follow. Yeah? So it's not necessary that only devotees follow regulative principles. These are the four legs of dharma, the bull. So bhakti does not depend on these things. They're not causes of bhakti. Yeah? If you don't gamble, that doesn't mean you become a devotee. Whatever. Yeah? But of course, they're also favorable. Following the dharmic principles are favorable for bhakti. But they don't cause bhakti, and bhakti does not depend on those things. Yeah? So even the most sinful person, with all the most sinful activities, you can become a devotee. Because bhakti doesn't depend on these things. As a result of the bhakti, and attraction to Krishna, then of course we have klesha agni, destruction of all karmas, destruction of all anarthas, destruction of desires, etc. All this takes place through the process of bhakti. Then he has no attraction for all these material activities anyway. So he becomes naturally detached from everything in the material world through the process of bhakti. Other people can do that by reaching sattva-gun or jnana or whatever. They can also become detached. But the devotee is the practice of bhakti. Well, yeah, they're not. They have conditions on their thing. So they are suffering the effects of their aparadhas to some degree still. But they're allowed to operate at least.
We have to do rituals for the
ISKCON.
We are also doing rituals for
ISKCON. Well, there's different types. Initiation is directly a spiritual thing. That's different. Marriages, of course, are samskaras. That is part of karma. So we take those rituals, but we do not include worship of devatas and other things in those rituals. So we have worship of Vishnu instead. So in this way, it's compatible with bhakti, by not in any way counteracting. Of course, in itself, marriage is not a devotional anga bhakti. It's not included in one of the 64 angas. So it is a material. It's not a material event. But it's not necessarily unfavorable for bhakti also. So, therefore, bhakti can be mixed with the marriage, etc. And marriage can be made favorable to bhakti also. So that is what is done in this case. The marriage is done, but it is not done with unfavorable elements in it. All the devata worship is taken out. To some degree, but of course, these things are not eternal. Daksha got his head back eventually, also. So the punishment also is not eternal. It's material bodies, and sooner they give up the material body, get another material body anyway. So it's not eternal problem for them because of even these aparadhas.
Mechanically reading.
Mechanically
speeches.
Reading?
Just sake of reading.
Just for the sake of reading.
Well, it depends. Just like if our intention is not devotional, we will pick up we will not understand the real meaning. So just as one who is not a Vaishnava, he recites the scripture, then it is not scripture anymore. It is poison. So similarly, one who reads the scripture and is not devotional, then he will not get anything devotional out of it. We don't know what it is called. Maybe it is material knowledge or whatever. But definitely won't get any bhakti from it. If he's neutral, however, just as in the case of chanting the name of the Lord accidentally or whatever, some little effect is there.
निरंतरा श्री श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की
जय।
किशोरनाथ बाल महाराज की
जय।
दिवंगत श्री श्री भक्ति स्वामी प्रभुपाद की
जय।
जय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरी हरी बोल।